tonight. It's my desire to try to encourage us, particularly in our work amongst young people, Sunday school and young people's work. What a privilege this is, but it's a hard work. It's a work where there's many ups and downs, and like the rest of the Christian life, there's no promise that it will be easy, and there's certainly no certainty that fruit will be immediate. This is a long work, a long-term work. This is line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. We're seeking to teach, and that process is not quick. It's the same with us in the Christian life. We don't learn everything overnight, and therefore with children. The work of the gospel is a slow, steady work, usually. Well, from time to time, we need to encourage one another. We need to remind ourselves of that biblical mandate that we have, the vital work, which is the ministry to teach the rising generation, not just our own children, but the children, as many as we can, from the neighborhood, as many as would have an interest, and perhaps whose parents would allow them to come. Very often we find nowadays it's not the parents that encourage the children to come. The children need to have an interest themselves. Gone is the day where parents would encourage the children. Very often they turn to the children and they say, "Would you like to go?" And quite often the answer is, "Oh, not today." So our work is even harder, but strangely even more important. Well, I found it to be the case over the years of being involved in children's work for some 35 years, that when we have a desire for children, the Lord blesses the church. The Lord blesses the family. The Lord blesses the individual on account of our labors. If we have a concern for the rising generation, the church will usually be blessed. There's no guarantee. The Lord's way is that we should depend upon him by faith, and things are not easy. But as we pray and as we look to him, there will surely be encouragement. It's my experience that churches that have a vibrant work amongst children and young people invariably are churches who are blessed. And churches with no Sunday school, when there could be, and when there are those who could teach very ably, then those churches, often there is not much blessing, sadly. And so it's our desire. To me, it's logical, it's natural that we'd want to teach children and gather them, but most of all, it's biblical. So I want to look tonight at just a number of verses to try to encourage us. If you turn with me to the first, Deuteronomy chapter 6. We thought last Sunday evening about the hardening process that goes on in the human heart. From the day that we're born, we have a hardening process. We drew the illustration of water pipes, the furring up of the pipes. And surely that's the case with every human being, that as they get older, it will be, humanly speaking, harder for them to come to the Savior. But only heaven will tell what blessing there has been amongst children. We sing a hymn, this is one of the verses. So when thy morning floods the land, good will it be to meet and see thee then, learn all the triumphs of thy love's sweet story, Lord of the reapers, hope of sinful men. We don't know. We don't know what lives will be changed because they first heard the gospel and God's truth as children. Very often the children come and they go and we don't know what happens to them, but we can be sure we will learn all the triumphs of love's sweet story. Well, here, Deuteronomy 6, I want to start deliberately in the Old Testament. We look at a few verses addressed to believers, and I think by extension, teachers and workers. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day, Moses, with the words of the Lord, shall be in thine heart. What should be in our heart? Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Special mention made of children, not just adults, children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This isn't to do with posture. That's not really the point that's being made. The point of this verse is that whenever and wherever you have opportunity, God's word, these commandments are to be in our heart, and they're to be taught diligently to children, carefully, wherever we can, wherever we have opportunity, whether we're lying down, standing up, walking by the road, we should teach God's word, his truth, there to be in our heart. Verse 5, we're to love the Lord God. And how are we to show that these things are in our heart? By teaching them. We're not to bury them. They're not treasures to be stored up only. They are to be shared, talked about, when you sit down, when you stand up, when you lie down, and when you get up again. They are to be taught. Well, the lesson is to take every opportunity. Look at Psalm 32 and verse 8, two verses from the Psalms. How are we to go about this? Psalm 32 and verse 8, this is a general promise. It's not specifically to do with children, but this is what the Lord says through David. Psalm 32 and verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. What do the children need more than anything else? They need to be taught the way that they should go. If the Lord teaches us, aren't we to teach others which way they shall go in life, which path they should be on? He promises that he will teach, instruct, and he will guide us. How does he do it? With his eye. The eye of the Lord is upon us. He will teach us. He will instruct us. He'll show us the right way. There is a right way. And children nowadays, they're not taught any way. It's make it up as you go along. And we want to teach them that there is a right way, God's way, the way that we should go. And the Lord promises to guide everybody that wants to be instructed with his eye. Well, another verse directed at children, Psalm 34 and verse 11. This is a promise for children, a promise from the Lord for children. This is what he says. The reference is to young animals in the previous verse. And the Lord provides for the young lions, verse 10, if they're hungry, the Lord provides, but they that seek the Lord will not want any good thing. What's that? Verse 11, come, ye children, hearken, listen unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What do we want to teach children above anything else? The fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. If anybody is to come to the Lord, as it says in this verse, we need to know the fear of the Lord. And we learn that from an early age, to fear God, to fear his word, to love his commandments. And this is what we desire to teach the children? Well, if we want a mandate, and that's our priority, and we need to remind ourselves of that, go back to Matthew 18, our reading earlier. If anybody debates, should you be involved in children's work? Would you believe I've heard pastors say that there should not be any evangelism to children, only within families? You reach the parents first, and then it's the father's responsibility to reach the children. Well, I ask you, is that the pattern of the Lord Jesus? We read these verses earlier. Here is our warrant. This is what the Lord Jesus says in the context of who's the greatest. They thought the adults were the greatest. They were arguing which disciple was the greatest. And he goes 180 degrees. Verse 2. Go and get a child. Bring them before me. Let me put this child as a visual aid in front of you. Verse 2. And then he says, if you're going to come, if you're going to be converted, unless you come as a child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. He's raising up children and saying, children are the example of how we should be converted. They're a demonstration of the priority that we should have upon children's work. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. You know, it's my conviction. I'll give you some reasons shortly. It's so, so much easier to come to know the Lord and to enter the kingdom of heaven as a little child. That's what this verse says. You need to humble yourself. Much easier as a child. And if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you need to come as, in the same way, as a little child will come. But there's another message here, verse 5. Let's put the negative in. If you don't receive a little child in my name, what will happen? Verse 6. Isn't this one of those shocking verses? If you were to turn a child away, if you weren't to have a concern for that family that you have access to, if you were to offend, not visit, not pray for one of these little ones, I'm amplifying the verse, forgive me, it were better that a millstone were hung about the neck, and that that person who's offended that little one was put into the sea. Isn't that a graphic verse? Such should be our priority, our love for little ones, that we should do anything. And if we don't, we are guilty of offense, an offense that will be punished. The punishment is for neglect, neglect of children. If we don't have concern for children, well, the Lord won't have concern for us. A pattern that the Lord Jesus is setting. Go down, or rather back, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I'm sure you'll know these verses very well. Matthew 10. And verses 14 and 15. This again is the Lord Jesus speaking. He says in verse 14, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Well, what's that to mean to us? We don't go where the gospel is not wanted? No, doesn't mean that. We go wherever we can get a hearing. Yes, of course, if people continually reject the word of God and they won't hear us, well, we have to be wise. But where there's an opportunity we are to go? How long will it be before there is no opportunity with children? Before the children say, no, we have no interest. Currently, we still have children that come, that want to come. We desire to collect more. But there might be a time, and it might not be far away, where even the children shake the dust off our shoes and say, go away. Are we not to take that opportunity while we can? Here's seven reasons, very briefly. Why is it easier to become a Christian as a child than it is as an adult? And don't misunderstand me, the Lord can change even somebody on their deathbed, even somebody in a care home. But generally speaking, it's much easier for these reasons. First of all, children find it so much easier to believe in a creator God. To me, that's very obvious. Evolution creeps in. Billions of years come in. People don't want to hear. They see the Bible is irrelevant. And if the Bible's irrelevant, why do I need the gospel? Secondly, when you're a child, you have a lower view of yourself. You have much less pride than adults do. Isn't that true? It's the adults that get proud, that think they know all the answers. Generally speaking, children know they've done wrong. They're willing to be corrected. Thirdly, we can say that there's less self-righteousness. What's the biggest barrier to the kingdom of heaven in a heart? Me thinking, I don't need God. I don't need a savior. I don't need forgiveness because I'm all right. What people say when we give out a tract, I'm all right, thanks. I don't need your help. Well, children know they need help. They generally speaking don't have the self-righteousness that we as adults have. Fourthly, there's less influence of a hostile atheistic world. You go through school in the UK for 10 years, it's surprising if anybody comes out believing that there is a God in heaven. It's remarkable because there's so much programming that goes on. Fifthly, as a child, we have far more sense of dependence. We depend upon our parents, we depend upon teachers. Therefore, when we're called to depend upon the Lord by faith, well, that's not so difficult to understand that I need to depend. Sixthly, as a child, we have far more sensitivity to God's law and to the voice of conscience. You get older, conscience gets seared, stamped, bruised, damaged. But as a child, we generally know our conscience is speaking to us. We can see guilt on a child's face. Adults try to hide it. And then finally, as a child, we know that we do wrong. Oh, we get told off all the time. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. As adults, we don't like to be told that we've broken God's laws and that we're offensive to Him. How vital Sunday school work is. How important in this generation. We as a church, for many, many years, going back a long, long time, have a great tradition of children's work, and particularly gathering children from families who are, as we call it, unchurched, where there is no concern. Do you know, if we don't have a concern on the basis of what Christ says, I believe we're disobeying, and that's solemn. If we don't go and collect and recruit and pray and teach and ask the Lord to bless the children, we're not following the Lord's pattern. We don't have the heart that he had. He had a heart for lepers. He had a heart for people that were torn to pieces by mental health. And he had a heart for children. We're to be like Christ. We're to have a big heart, especially for those who don't have parents to guide and to help them. The blessings that churches know, we become more outward facing. We have opportunities with families and parents. People watch and they say, look at those people, such concern for the children. What opportunities it opens up. Don't we become more like Christ when we follow his example? Well, may the Lord stir us up. None of us are worthy of this task, but it's a mighty, noble task. And we ask the Lord, particularly tonight in prayer, we want to pray almost exclusively for our work amongst the children, that the Lord will bless it in the coming days with his help. If we pray, he will hear.